God is good all the time, you know. Even when you're not. The Bible says, sow and you'll reap. Sow and you'll reap. You know, so many people want things from God, but they're not willing to sow. And then they blame everything and everyone because they didn't get what they wanted. You know, there's something very important right now, what's going on. God is exposing, changing. I mean, things are shifting greatly. Greatly. Everybody know that? You know, is any part of your life being a little bit shaken now? If your life's being shaken, that's because God's trying to get you in position. He's trying to get you in position in an area where He can get something to you in a greater way. See, when we go from glory to glory, God brings us to a place where we've been relying on all the things that were. And He says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it's time to get involved in the new thing because He's doing a new strategy to attack the enemy and make a way of escape for us. Hello. You know, we're still in the third flood. Does everybody understand that? It's happening, man. I'm telling you, it's happening. Go ahead, read the news. See all the floods and the famine and everything that's going on right now. It's the shaking. Shaking. God is shaking mightily. Mightily. The Bible tells us in the last days many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits. It's amazing that there's people who have been believers for 30 years and they still don't know how to cast out a devil. Especially out of themselves. Hello? There are people who have been believers 30 years and still don't quote any scripture. They expect Jesus to do it all. Hello? When He said, come and learn from Me. Come and what? Learn from Me. He said, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge means truth. Because His people don't know enough truth. And I'm telling you, the Lord weeps over His own children because they're being taken out before time. Well, right now, we're in this third flood. And you're either in or out. Because come June, after June, let me tell you something, things are going to be really happening. You ain't seen nothing yet. God is going to maneuver a large, enormous harvest. Harvest. Great harvest. Everybody here is a fisher of men. So stop wasting your time going fishing for fish. Start fishing for men. And in this right now, there are certain things that, you know, God is really checking His people out. You know, not everyone started the way, not everyone that started that one way are staying that way right now. People who started on fire have become lukewarm. So things are shaking in every way. People become complacent, thinking they can get away with touching unclean things. But God is changing things. You know, the closer the Lord gets to His return, the hotter things get. He's preparing us, positioning us. Wonderful things are happening. There's a sense that there's a deeper place that we desire to go with the Lord. And that's not because it's something that you desired, it's something that He put in there. You want to go deeper. You don't know why, you don't know where or how or what's what, but you know that you want more of God. In fact, there's been a conviction in an area where something's not right in my life and I don't even know what it is. You'll know eventually. Believers are getting sick, diseased, because of lack of truth. Jesus paid the price for us to know truth. They're beginning to get sucked more into the world and rely on doctors, medication. Are you hearing? instead of by His stripes and the price that He paid. Everybody's got a cure. But there's only one cure. The cure of torment, where you may have freedom. And it's by His blood into His presence. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? Luke 14, please. Luke 14, verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and He turned and He said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." There it is. Okay, everybody can go home now. I'm only kidding. That's a very powerful statement. He said you can't be His disciples. Because He knows you won't make following Him if you're not willing to do this. You won't make it. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple." In other words, if you're not willing to go after Him also. Because these are things that are interfering with an individual's life to go after the Lord. See, one of the things that God is asking us again, are you willing to do whatever it takes? You know, so many people jump in, but there's something they forgot to do. Count the cost. Let me tell you something. There is a cost. He paid the price, and you will pay the price. Are you with me? There is a cost that you must pay. And this is one of them. He says you must deny yourself. You must be willing to give up everything and anything. You must sever yourself from everything in this world and be totally His. That's the price that you must pay now, all the way to death. See, if you're not willing to die for Him, you won't make it. It's not about religion. It's about life. When you give your life, He gives you His. And it's not until then. There isn't a, well, I'll try it or maybe. Well, I'll see what's what. No, you make the choice that you're willing to count the cost no matter what. Because once you count that cost, there is no other choice made. It's done and over with. There is no other reasoning. There is no other justification. There is nothing else ever again in your life when you make the choice. When, can you imagine? Jesus, people don't realize, it's Jesus that sent you the invitation to follow Him. Not a man, not your circumstance, nothing. But from the throne room of God, an invitation came out to you and said, follow Me. Because the Bible says, no man comes to the Father unless he is drawn. So when God drew you, He invited you. When He invited you, He said, give Me your life, and I'll give you a life like you never thought or saw before. I'll give you a life that no one can compare to and nobody else can fulfill but Me. I'll give you a life abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think. I'll show you deep things of My treasures. I'll bring you to My throne room and show you awesome things that the world can't comprehend. I'll tear open the veil for you in the natural realm, and I'll open the realms of the Spirit that will never, never, never cause you to fall, but will cause you to be more hungry for Me. See, you must count the cost. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Or will you reject Him? Because if you reject Him, He'll reject you. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is not a game. This is not religion. This is truth. And it's a now. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Many have fallen. Many. Many have fallen. Many who've used God. Many. And they will stand before him. And they will pay another price because they weren't willing to pay the price then. See, you'll either pay now or later. There's no escape. You must be willing to do whatever it takes now. You must count the cost. You know, people are falling left and right all over the world, all over in the body of Christ, because God is beginning to separate the goat and the sheep. It's happening right now. The shaking, it's like sifting. God is sifting. And there are those who've used God, who've played religion, but they're still not right. They walk away from him. They start ministries for selfish gains. They play religion. They don't tell the truth. They want to tickle people's ears. They want to build big crowds. It only took 12. It only took 12 to start something powerful. Amen. Only 12. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 30, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That is the cost. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Not on your terms, only on his terms. Not on how you feel, not on what you see. Not on what you expect and not what you perceive, but what he commands. See, God loves to surprise his children. The Bible says that God tests us. He doesn't test you to fall. He tests you so you know who he is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. It didn't say you wouldn't be afflicted. Some people really don't know God yet, even being believers 30 years, because they've never allowed God to work in their life. They've worked it all themselves. They've done it all themselves. They call themselves blessed, but they bless themselves also. Are you with me? Look at this. In verse 34 it says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" See, we are blessed and highly flavored. "It is neither fit for land nor for the dunghill." And y'all know what the dunghill is. "But men throw it out. He who has an ears to hear, let him hear." See, what happens is individuals start off, but then they let the world begin to corrupt them. They lose the flavor. They lose that scent. See, salt is used for preserving. See, it's our responsibility. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring you peace. Right? I came to bring you what? A sword. A sword. Why? To protect. To protect you. To protect the tree of life. See, by that, as the more you learn how to fight, the Bible says, make no place for the enemy. See, there's not enough fighters. There's too many wimps. They cry out to Jesus all day long. And Jesus is yelling, I did this. Go here. And they're still crying out to the Lord. Open your Bible. What's a Bible? See, they can't even hear God. They have no idea. Because religion crept in. Because of the spirit of error. And all behind us is the demonic forces of evil. You really believe God intended denominations? No way. I always share with people, 500 were invited to the upper room. Only 120 showed up. The 380 went out and started denominations. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. They lost their flavor, didn't they? They were no good. They weren't willing to obey. See, you got to count the cost by willing to obey, willing to trust, and never look back. Never look back. Remember, it's not about how much you know, it's about who you really know. But if you know Him, you know a lot. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. So you're willing to give up your family? No, I can't do that. Come on, you weenie. Quit being a wimp and start getting up for boldness for Jesus. Let me tell you, when you get right with God, God gets your family in order. But it didn't happen today. Oh, die. Some people just don't give God an opportunity to work, you know. You got to give Him a break. Give Him a break. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 17. Therefore, which means if, therefore, come out what? From among them. And be separated, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you. And you should be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? The fear of God. See, so many people don't have that fear of God, that reverence of God. They run under the arena of grace. But they have no idea what grace really means. Grace doesn't give you a legal right to sin. Grace is the plan of God of escape for you to come out of the wrath of God. No. Grace allows... No, we are in the age of grace. This means that in this age, in fact, the age of grace is associated with two feasts. It runs from the Feast of Pentecost to the Feast of Trumpet. In that period of time. Are you hearing me? Because it's associated with the Feast of Weeks. It's a representation of the age of grace. That's why Jesus warned us in the book of Hebrews, those who trample grace can expect a judgment from God. God's grace means God's plan and action, does not give you a legal right to go out and serve the devil. Allows you to co-labor with God. See, religion twists things around. Because the word religion represents bondage. That's how Satan works. He produces religions where people do ritualistic things and they never really know Jesus. It's all religion. I can't stand religion. It's nothing but a stinking spirit. And it brings bondage to people. And it's associated with a deaf and dumb spirit. And it prevents individuals from receiving the things of the Spirit. Because they justify themselves that they're good. I'm good. But good people don't go to heaven. That's why you must eat of the tree of life. So he says, come out from among them and be what? Separate. Separate. So what's going to separate you? By knowing God's plan. That's called grace. That's why Jesus came with the fullness of grace and truth. What did he come with? God's plan. When you cried out for mercy, you said, Lord, consider me. He said, okay, here comes grace. And then he sent you God's plan. That's why Jesus came. To get the plan of escape from the wrath of God. Not a legal right to go out and do whatever you want. Come out from among them. Come out from among what? Worldly lust. Worldly lusts. Get cleansed of the flesh and spirit to and perfect. How is you going to perfect holiness? By having the reverence and fear of God. The reverence and fear of God. See, you must make the choice to continue at all costs, no matter what. I don't care if your wife leaves you. I don't care if your husband leaves you. I don't care if all your children end up in jail. It doesn't matter what's what. You must continue to follow at all costs because everything will fall into place. See, because behind all circumstances is the favor of God. Amen. You just got to get through it. But see, the enemy will try and tie you up. He's always going to come against you, isn't he? But you must tell him resistance is futile. See, you've got to take your stand and not be moved. You must be willing to do whatever it takes, no matter what the cost, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think. That's where you stand on His promise. See, but if you're right with God, His promise will come to pass. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't come to pass when you want it. See, that causes you to die a little bit more. See, sometimes He knows how fleshly we can be. So He'll delay something. And then the enemy will come up and say, well, how come he's doing it with this person and not me? Then he begins in part competition. See, but you know all things because if you have the anointing, you know these things. That's why Jesus said, you can do all things through Christ. See, you can do all things through the anointing. Why? Because you know all things. But if you're not spiritually in position, you're not going to know nothing. The enemy's going to wipe you around like a wet noodle and use you for a welcome mat for his kingdom. He'll cause you to go in that cycle. You'll be a liar, a deceiver, a manipulator. You'll tell people one thing and go behind closed doors and do another. And you're in danger. You cannot hide from God. Doesn't matter how much religion you play. Doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues. Doesn't matter how much your hands are lifted in the air. Tongues is not going to save you. Lifting your hands in the air is not going to save you. Hello? Your relationship with the Lord and walking upright is what's going to save you. Are you hearing me? Go to Genesis 19. Are you willing to lose your family, your job, your friends, your fame? Your reputation. To please God. Genesis 19. This is a test from the National Broadcasting Network of the throne room of God. Genesis 19 and verse 15. Genesis 19 and verse 15. Y'all all right? Thinking about counting that cost? Y'all there? Let's read it. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." Favor. Lot had favor. God changed his mind for Lot because he was an upright and righteous man. Hallelujah. Verse 22. "Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Oh, hallelujah. I would say that's called grace. Are you hearing me? It's called what? Grace. He was making a way of a plan of escape, wasn't he? Or else he'd have been killed with them, wouldn't he? "Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive here." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Does everybody see this? One of the things you cannot do is look back. Let me share something with you. She went, and she looked back at what she was losing. But she didn't realize what she was gaining. Are you hearing me? See, that's what the devil likes to do. He likes you to look back, to look at what you used to. Well, I used to have this. I used to be this. I used to do that. Well, you ain't that no more. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to give up whatever it takes to give up? Well, almost. Well, then you will lose your flavor. She turned around and got burned with salt. But I'm telling you, you can turn around and burn your past just like Elijah. Hello? God makes a way of escape, doesn't he? He says, "Come out from among them." Lot had flavor. But his wife lost the flavor. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. The Bible tells us that those of the righteous, the path is narrow and difficult. But that way of the wicked is wide and broad. Psalm 127, are y'all there? Verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it." This is what's going on right now. Too many individuals are building their own house. They're not allowing God to build the house. "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." This is what's going on. This is why there's a shaking going on. Because the Lord wants to build the house. But too many people got their little paws in things. They're still trying to build things, but it's not being built by the Lord. Are you hearing? That's why ministries are being shaken. That's why places and homes are being shaken. "Unless the Lord builds a house, you what? labor in vain. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to let God build a house. That's the cost you must pay. That's the price. Am I really allowing God build a house? Or is every circumstance that happened, I run out and fix it? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. You know, so many people are willing to go out and do something. I can't tell you how many people I counsel with, and I said, did the Lord tell you that? Well, no. Hello? What do you mean? You mean you went out and did something and God didn't tell you not to do it? Well, no. Well, did you pray about it? Well, no. Well, then you weren't willing to pay the price. You didn't count the cost. See, without prayer, you're not protected. That's why God says, acknowledge me in all of your ways and I'll establish your steps. Give me your works and I'll establish your thoughts. See, you can't do it without Him. The moment you think that you can, you will build in vain. And you will build flesh that will burn. It won't last. Isaiah 57. You know, some people aren't willing to pay the price for healing. Some people aren't willing to pay the price to get healed. Some people aren't willing to pay the price to learn God's prosperity. Some people just aren't willing to pay the price. And there's a price to be paid. Isaiah 57:10. You are what? Wearied in the length of your way. Yet you do not say, there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand. Do you understand what he's saying? You have found life in the labor of your hands. Therefore you were not grieved. In other words, you weren't concerned about anything. You weren't grieved when you didn't obey God. Why? Because you found life in your hands. You were building your own. Are you hearing this? Let's go a little further. And of whom you have been afraid or feared, that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart. Is it not because I have held my peace from old, that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. But the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall what? Inherit my holy mountain. So he's saying, listen, we put our trust in the things that we built. We call it life in the hand. Instead of allowing the Lord to build it. I'm telling you, we are in an area and a season where we must get our hands out of things and get them in the deep things of God and not in the things of the world. We must stop building in the flesh. Are you willing to count the cost? It's counting time. Are you willing to come out of your traditions, your religions, your foolishness? Are you willing to come out of the world? Are you willing to come out of your past? Don't look at how you used to be. Doesn't matter. He is the God of now. And we want a relationship with Him right now. We want a rhema word from Him right now. We want to know Him right now. We want to hear Him right now. We want to see Him right now. And we want to obey Him right now. Go to 1 Kings 19. And verse 19. First Kings 19:19. So he departed from there and found Elijah. Elijah was looking for him. The son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Now you got to remember that he had 12 yokes of oxen, which made him a wealthy man. He came from a wealthy family. He didn't need anything. He had everything. But when the call of God came on his life, when he received the mantle, he did something a little foolish, but he got corrected real quick. In verse 20, and it says, and then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my mommy and my daddy, and then I will follow you. Hello? He wanted to go back and say goodbye and hug everybody and, you know, do the woe is me and, you know, well, you know, I got something to do, and, you know, all that soulish stuff. Emotional attachments, you know, all the things the devil binds people up with. Please let me go kiss my mommy and daddy and the dog, you know. And then I'll follow you. Okay, man, and I got the invitation. Well, let me go take care of the soulish stuff, and then I'll come after you. And Elijah said to him, go back again? For what have I done to you? He got it. Ooh. So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Glory to God. Now Lot's wife turned around and got burned with salt. Elijah turned around and burned his past. Are you hearing? Because he accepted, he counted the cost. There was no reasoning. There was no if, buts, or whatever. It almost started that way. Oh, let me go kiss everybody of my past goodbye. And he says, what have I done to you? Do you not understand the call in your life? You're in this room tonight because God called you. You must understand the seriousness of the call in your life. It is not a game. As a matter of fact, it's a matter of life or death in your life. You're not here just for a message. You're here for an impartation that you may know the truth of who you are and why you're called. There is a war going on in the spirit. And you must learn how to warfare. You must learn the ways of the Lord. And you must come out from the world and be willing to count the cost to do whatever it takes. So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then they arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. He destroyed what was profiting him in his past. Not only did he sacrifice the oxen, but he destroyed the equipment and used it for fire. You know what he did? He showed God he was willing to do whatever it took. Let me share something with you. When I was in the drug world and I was an addict and I lost everything, taking showers out of hoses of houses, looking for sneakers and garbage cans, had my own home that was in foreclosure with no water, electricity. Couldn't even go to the bathroom in my own home. It was in foreclosure, getting ready to close. Didn't know when I was going to totally end up. Didn't know what was going to happen. Got to the point where I said, you know what? I can't go on this way any longer. Tried to kill myself, that didn't work. And I said, man, I got to do something. So I called my brother, and he made arrangements for me to go into a detox. Now, in some strange way, I was saying, God, help me. You know what he said? And I didn't realize this until later. He said, show me. Show me. Show me. See, Elijah showed God. He said, show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. And when you show me you're willing to do whatever it takes, I'll move on your behalf. 2 months later, I did whatever it took. I didn't care anymore. I wasn't going to lie no more. If somebody asked me what I was an addict. Did you fornicate? Did you cheat? Lie? Yes! I probably even stole from you. I didn't care anymore. I wanted to be honest. I didn't read no Bible. I didn't know nothing about a Bible. I was brought up, but I never read a Bible because I was told it was nothing but a story. So I didn't believe it. Played the religious rules. Went to church 60 times a week. Went in, came out the same way. Did a couple of genuflections. Put a quarter in the thing and I left. I said, I can play dominoes better than you can. And it was over with. Didn't change. Didn't know God, knew there was one somewhere. I knew you're out there somewhere. Didn't know I could have a relationship. Didn't know I had to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I didn't know any of that stuff. But I got to a point where I said, God, help me. Because man couldn't. I tried and they failed. I tried secular programs and they failed. I went in there. I remember going into a secular program and everybody was a huffer. Smoking cigarettes. Those are called huffers. This guy was trying to tell us what our problem was with an addiction. I said, I'm out of here. This guy's an idiot. Trying to tell me how to get free, and you can't get free yourself from those stupid things. It's amazing. Justification. Then I was going to these other goofy things where people go in there, yes, my name is such and such and I'm an addict. And I'll always be one. That wasn't for me either. I wasn't going to take that. I wanted to change. I wanted a new life. And that's what the Lord said to me. He said, Guy, do you want to get off the drugs and alcohol? Or do you want a new life? Well, it didn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. I tried getting off the drugs and alcohol, and I couldn't. So I said, I want a new life. And he said to me, show me. So I checked into a detox place, started it. I wasn't free yet, but my desire was to do whatever it took. I went home and locked myself. When I got out of there, I went home and locked myself in the house. And then God began to send people. They turned on my electricity. I said, whoa. And I began to call out to God. And then the Lord sent somebody I used to ride Harleys with in my life who was saved. And he shared with me that he was clean, this, that, and whatever. Of course, I wasn't saved yet. And then shortly right after that, I got saved. And I was told to ask Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my heart. And when I did, He came. See, but it all goes back to this. Show me. Show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. Show me. See, when you ask for something, I want you to understand something. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. The word ask means, what are you willing to give up to get it? Why? Because there's a price behind every ask. And people wonder why they don't get it. Because they haven't given. Ask. What are you willing to give up to get what you want? Then some people ask amiss. Why? Because they're not willing to give. What's God asking you? He wants you. He wants another piece of you. See, so when you ask, you better be willing to give up you. There's a price for everything you ask. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Remember, when you ask, He's going to say, show me. But I'll tell you what, I thank God I was willing to do whatever it took then. Whew. I wasn't born this way, let me tell you. I was born again this way. Hallelujah. Now it don't matter. Now it don't matter, praise God. Whatever happens, happens. Praise God, I'm just going to go through. Why? Because there's going to be favor at the other end. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but if you're willing to count the cost, you'll know that there's favor. on the other end. Too many people are too caught up here. Oh, they can't see beyond themselves because pride. Self-image. What about me? Forget you. Don't you get it? Forget you. But what about my family? Forget it. What about my job? Forget it. Forget everything. The only thing you need to be responsible for is Him. And accountable to Him. Then He'll establish your steps. He'll move mountains. He'll do things that you currently can't comprehend. But all of a sudden He'll be there. What? How did that get there?
I don't know. I...
It doesn't matter. See, you do not walk with a need-to-know basis with the Creator of all things. You're to walk in a trust basis. And He's going to make things. Like, man, I'm telling you what, you can't comprehend Him. Forget it. I still don't know how I got here. And I don't try to figure it out. And I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. It doesn't matter. I don't look about the future. I don't look at the past. The only time I go to the past is to bring the devil up. Hello, you remember what you did to me? Bam! Not anymore, Junior Barnes. You gunky. See, you don't only bring up your past to bring glory to God, but you make sure your hand is around His neck so He can't speak. See, the devil always brings you to your past. He tries to bring all of these things. Don't you remember? But he doesn't tell you about the times that you were broke, that you were hurting, you were destitute. He doesn't remind you of the times you wanted to kill yourself. He doesn't remind you of the times that you cried and wept and cried out for help. He doesn't remind you of those things. He only reminds you of all the sinful lust and lying fun that we did. He doesn't remind you of the other things. Doesn't remind you of the destruction that we've caused to not only ourselves, but families. Go to 1 Peter 4. Counting the cost. We've got to count the cost. 1 Peter chapter 4. So when everybody leaves here, you know God's going to say, show me. You need something, show me you want it. I've learned that in my walk. When I there's something I want, the Lord will say, show me how bad you want it. What's the price you're willing to pay? 1 Peter chapter 4, is everybody there? And let's start at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. That's a price, isn't it? And that's a choice. That we should no longer live according to the things of the flesh, but according to the things of the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, or the will of the devil, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you have not run with them in the same flood of what? Dissipation. Let's start 4 again, okay? In regard to these, they think it strange that you what? That you do not what? Run with them in the same flood. Do you understand that you're no longer doing the same things? You're going to be what? Persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. Let me tell you, you can go to churches and you'll be persecuted in your own church because you want to do the right thing. The person next to you is going, you really get all this? The person right next to you in church isn't sold out yet. They're willing to count the cost. Right next to you. And the enemy in that person is trying to discourage you from going all the way. Come on, let's go back into the world. Forget this stuff. I mean, really, you know, we can come to church, but aren't you going a little too far? I get people to come up to me and go, man, you're serious. Why aren't you? You know, we minister in a jail and so forth. One of the things you have to deal with is jailhouse religion. You know, all the people in there, they do these correspondence courses to get a Bible. And that's all they're trying to do is get something. And they play religion little games and, you know, they fill out the little things. Oh, I got a Bible. I finished the course. Woo-hoo-hoo. But they didn't get nothing. That's all they got was a bunch of paper religion and they got a Bible. And they don't know what to do with it. And they call all their families and, hi, yes, man, yeah, I'm born again, I'm doing this, yeah, everything's cool, I got, yeah, I did a correspondence course. And they start cussing over the phone because they didn't send them any money. Oh, you're born again, man, all the way. So we have to deal with jailhouse religion when we go there. And these guys will come up to me and go, you're serious. I'm going to take the Bible and pop them on the head. This is reality. You know, this is not a make-believe thing. This is real. You know, this is real. Once you unzip this veil in the natural realm, you're in the other realm, and that's the real part. This side's the temporary part. This is real. It blows my mind because I think some of the chaplains in there still think it's a joke. Let's go to chapter 5 while we're here. In verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. So you got to what? Stay humble. Do you ever get around someone that's very defensive? They're not humble, they're prideful. Anybody that's very defensive is prideful. It's not got nothing to do with humbleness. Because humbleness is willing to do whatever it takes. It's pride. Pride causes offense. Pride. You find yourself being defensive of everything, you got a prideful demon in you. Can't say nothing to somebody, they freak out. Man, why are you always against me? What? Maybe when you straighten up, you get rid of that demon you're communicating with, Mr. and Mrs. Pride that live in you and making offsprings through you. Hello? Humble yourself, casting your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your friend, the devil. Is he your friend? No, he's your adversary. He's not your assistant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can have for lunch. But may the Lord, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have what? After you what? Suffered. That's called pay a price. After you have what? Suffered. You know, some people suffer just by not getting what they want. And if you're an individual that really desires certain things, oh God, I gotta have this, you ain't getting it. Oh Lord, I need my family restored to me today! Forget it. The more you ask for it, the longer it's gonna take. Hello? See, I've learned not to ask for anything. Only what pertains to rescuing individuals, intercession and warfare. See, because he says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So what do you keep asking to be, get this, get this, get this? Oh, what about this, Lord? And what about this, Lord? And what about that, Lord? And Shut up. Come on. Put a sock in it, man. Put the word in it. Quit asking. And start giving. Don't be just a taker. Be a giver. Intercede for those who are in need. Don't worry about you. It's got nothing to do about you. It's about Him. And His will. And when you start focusing in that area, He'll take care of you. You won't even have to ask. Because see, the more you ask about you, the longer it's going to take. Because He's going to wait till you die. So the sooner you die, the better. See, then you can walk around with joy. Because you can't kill something that's already dead. So when you get rejected, it don't care. So what? When somebody speaks bad about you, so what? You know? When somebody steals from you, hallelujah. Why? Because you're to be dead men walking. We have a teaching on that. Resist them. Do a little suffering. Quit whining and grumbling and complaining when you're suffering. And don't blame everybody, anybody for your stuff. Don't have anybody clean your laundry. Clean it yourself. Hello? Everybody has dirty laundry. I'm talking about things in the spirit. What did he say? Cleanse your spirit and your what? Flesh. Don't blame people for it. Don't blame your boss the way you're reacting. You know, people freak out if they get short a buck on their paycheck. It's amazing how people will get involved with money more than God. Amazing to me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all. So welcome your affliction. Do your warfare. Stand. Pray. Fight. And then die. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Stop proving yourself. Don't prove how much you know. Let Him prove you. Let Him prove you. I was accused in jail one time. Of course, more than one time, but I was accused of causing division, which I was. I mean, there was no doubt about it. It's causing division between religion and truth. Everywhere Jesus went, He caused division, didn't He? Then He said, now come to set a father against a mother and so forth, a daughter and a daughter-in-law, and all, right? So I got accused of causing division. I thought there was an honor, basically. They didn't see it that way. So I went in to go do the class, and the chaplain was there, and he says, listen, you've been accused of causing division. I wanted to give him a high five. He was a little upset. You're causing division. I said, well, didn't Jesus? He said, well, and then some guys in jail stood up, and you could see the religious bondage on them, and said, well, this, and that, and, you know. I said, okay. One guy was upset because I called him a bonehead. I said, so what? You're a bonehead, flesh head, carnal. And he said this, that, and whatever. And it was causing division because it was like 50% of them were spirit-filled and they were trying to do the things in the spirit. And the other 50% were all religion, wanting to watch secular TV and this, that, and whatever. So it was causing division. And here I thought, praise God, this is cool. So I, you know, my volunteer job, I had to step down a little bit for a little while. I mean, we were doing anointing service there for almost 5 or 6 years. At one time, we were doing 5 services a week there. People were getting delivered, healed, and all kinds of stuff. We had guards freaking out because people were slain in the spirit and they were going to call 911. They didn't know what to do with them. So they told me I couldn't lay hands on anybody. I said, okay, no problem. Everybody lift your hands to heaven, and bam, the power of God hit that place. People were flipping and flopping like a fish out of water. Guards were freaking out. They told me I was inciting a riot. I said, man, that's deliverance. And all those who came against were removed. So I took a vacation for a little while. But we're back now. I told him I'd be back. It's amazing how God does things, you know. And I tried to tell the chaplain, man, this ain't nothing but religion. I was trying to get around the demon that was in him. Chap, that's religion, man. Yeah, move that black thing that's in front of your face. It's religion. And it's amazing because then when they called us and re-invited us back into the jail. And so Wade and I went to a meeting. And what did they invite us to? The chaplain's meeting. So Wade and I were the only dudes in the chaplain's meeting with all these chaplains. And the head guy that runs the whole program introduces us and tells us, whatever you want. Amazing. So we're back in there doing two classes a week. And then I'm walking down, and the chaplain of the girl, the women, comes up to me and says, oh, Pastor Gary, how you doing? Hey, when can you come in on my side? I said, praise God. So we're getting ready to go in there. I'm telling you, God is good. See, when they first invited us, the first time I sent a video, and the video was the Get Set Free video, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and they said, come on in! We need something to happen here. Well, when it started happening, ooh, we were causing division, you know. Hallelujah. So I'm sure the correspondence courses picked up a real lot after we left. And everybody got their Twinkie Bibles and, you know, and left there the same way they came in, you know. It was quite interesting. Where do we go? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Incredible. Aren't you glad you're not religious? If you are, come on up here. Come on, batter up. We're going to pop that religion spirit out of you tonight. When the Lord sent us to the jail, He said, Guy, I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to send you in there and clean up. I said, whoa. And He showed me a baseball team. He said, you're going to be the fourth batter, which is called the cleanup batter. I said, whoa. So when I went in there, the first time I went into the jail, I started sharing with everybody about what's what. I gave my testimony. Before I left, I said, now you're all accountable. Ooh, they freaked. So now you're all accountable. You heard what's what. You know the truth. It's up to you now to either go after the truth or die and go to hell. I said, see ya. That was my first day in jail. These guys are all, wah! See, once it's spoken, man. I'm done. Now it's up to you. That's why the Bible says you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You must be willing to count the cost. How bad do you want it? Then you're going to say, show me. How bad do you want it? Show me. Nothing comes without nothing. There's a price for everything. Everything God has for you is a price. That's why He says, I prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, not your friends. Ooh, the only thing just shot up my bones. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Start at verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. I'd say that's pretty desperate, isn't it? That means you'll be willing to do whatever it takes. You know, Jesus was not a wimp. He called people hypocrites. That's like calling somebody an idiot. Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth. He called them hypocrites, called them liars. He didn't take no garbage. Didn't even call out the demons that were in him. A third of his ministry was casting out devils. It's amazing how people don't want to read that in the Bible. Oh, they might come after me. No, they're already in you. That's why you can't read it. It's called fear. Spirit of fear. Okay, let's go on. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are there. We are there. People don't like to be told, what are you doing on radio? What are you doing on TV? What do you mean? I'm a believer. Yeah, well, you deny the Christ. You talk about things of Jesus, but you're not, you don't tithe, you lie, you do all kinds of stuff. People preach tithing and don't even tithe themselves. It's amazing. They don't give. It's all a bunch of stinking religion. And it's nothing but bondage. People will not be free. But I'm telling you, God is shaking mightily. Shaking. For the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers. People will run from one place to another until finally they get it. Oh, yes. Hey, here's a place I don't have to tithe. Here's a place that I can go out and fornicate and I'm okay. Yeah, all right. This is my kind of religion. This is my kind of place. I'm not accountable. Oh, I can do anything I want in this place. Great. That's what's happening right now. All over. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It blows my mind. I was counseling with a woman the other day, and she was telling me she was a believer. I've been a believer for a long. I'm married to a pastor, divorced now, of course. And share with me, she reads the Bible and all kinds of stuff. And she told me about karma. I said, karma? She said, you read the Bible. Yes. But there's a wonderful karma. And she started telling me about reincarnation. I said, sister, you're in a cult. I don't know what book you call the Bible, but that's not in the Bible. You're in a cult, and it's called New Age, and you're deceived. Well, I believe that we can fornicate. I mean, I believe that we can be married without being married. Well, we just knelt down to God, and we got married. Oh, hallelujah. That's all we need is more of that all over, right? I mean, we are in the last days, I'm telling you. That's all I can tell you. We're in the last seconds right now. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. All of our time is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We must keep the faith. You must be willing to do whatever it takes all the way to the end. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also to all who have loved His appearing. I want to close in one scripture here, okay? Philippians 2. It's just for you. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. Everybody there? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Come on. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure, His will. Yeah. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you, whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. I just want to encourage everyone, do whatever it takes. Count the cost. Pay the price. Get the revelation. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. And be willing to do whatever it takes to please Him. Whatever He's, you got to give up, give it up. Let me share something. When God asks you to give up something, because He's getting you something better. But see, we get so emotionally attached to certain things that we're not willing to give it up. Why settle for good when you can have the best? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to count the cost, that we may be able to see things through and be willing to do whatever it takes, knowing that you are He who does exceedingly abundantly far above all we can ever ask or think, and that you turn all things, I mean all things, to the good. Now, Father, we promise to give you all a glory and honor and praise as you impart in us not only the Rhema word, life-giving, life-changing, and life-creating, but you impart in us more of you. Thank you for taking a chunk of us tonight and giving us more of you. Now, Papa, please open your gates of heaven. Touch your people tonight. Fill us, refresh us, and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And to you be the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.